If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so before I get to my story, I've got to give hands off to all the bouncers out there. I used to bounce in a bar, and I had some really good teachers. I never once in 4.5 years had to put my hand on one single individual.
Well, that's good, man. That's the idea, right?
Yeah, you got to learn how to defuse situations, how to de-escalate. And I had this handy item right next to me where my station was. It's called a telephone. And I just tell people, hey, I'm not going to put my hands on you, but I got these friends in blue. They'll come down here. They'll put their hands on you because that's what they're paid to do, and you're not going to like it.
Well, that explains itself.
You're not wrong.
Everything I learned from the movie Roadhouse with the late Patrick Swayze. If someone messes with you, there's this movie, dude, where you literally rip their throat out of their neck. solves the problem, apparently.
I'm glad I never had to do that.
Or you could get like, you know, like with the photoshopping skills these days, you know, like just make this picture of like you with like Bruce Lee with his arm around your shoulder or something, you know, like some, Mike Tyson, you know, like somebody.
Yeah. Mike Tyson on the ground with blood all over your head.
Exactly. And you're like, one more time.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, exactly. All bloodied up, you smiling. Just jet that mind of him.
Yeah.
So anyway, my story, I was sitting in, I've never been a big fighter. I don't like to. I'm a pretty big guy. When I have to, it's usually gone pretty favorable for me. So I'm sitting at my fire pit in my backyard with some of my buddies and my one buddy, and we're all drunk. And he keeps chirping at me about this stuff. And I was trying to just like change the subject, and he just wouldn't let it go. And he puts his hand on my throat, and I just knock his arm away and like put my finger in his face and don't do that. And so he did it again, knocked his arm away, and it's like, look, I'm telling you, don't do that. Well, the third time that he did it, I'd had enough. And I reached out and I grabbed his hoodie and I wrapped the hood on his hoodie around his head and I gave him a few wallops and he ended up with the bloody nose and then it was just awkward.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to keep the conversation
awkward,
rolling.
Awkward is a good word for awkward, that kind of thing. Yeah. And the nose is effective, man. That's a fourth grade kid kept picking on me. Oh, but only in the locker room during gym. That was, I mean, like, wouldn't mess with me in the hall, didn't talk smack or anything in class, but for whatever reason, when you're in your tidy whities, that's when he'd open his mouth. But it would just irritate me. So I mentioned this to my father. My father's like, look, man, so punch him in the nose. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. I was like, look, if he's got a nose, trust me, just punch him in the nose. He'll leave you alone. And then he always added, don't tell your mother I said that. Because I always love that they'll give you the tough guy advice, but then they're like, but yeah, make sure your mom doesn't find it. Anyway, I punched this kid in the nose, and he was right. Like, your eyes water, and as the caller said before, everyone thinks you're crying. You're not. But now you're sniffling, your eyes are watering, you're like, solve the problem. I mean, a nose, that's like the most efficient thing.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
All right. It's Halloween night. I'm senior in high school. Me and my older brothers are out creating miscreant in the rich neighborhood. Okay?
That's where you get the good candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, right, but we're not trick-or-treating.
Okay.
We're too old.
Here's how they're causing trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So we're mobbing around, just having a little fun, and come around this corner, and here's this kid in a ninja suit, and here's his buddy in a Power Ranger suit. So the kid in the ninja suit starts busting out nunchucks.
Can he actually use them?
Yeah.
It looked like he could actually use them.
All right.
Until I looked a little bit closer, and they were the plastic toy nunchucks, and he's bouncing them off his body and everything. So I rushed him like a linebacker, grabbed him up under his shoulders, and slammed him down the road.
And why did you do this exactly?
Because we were having some words.
Ah, okay.
And this kid ended up being 12 years old.
No. He was a junior at the same high school I went to.
Did you know who it was when you guys exchanged words, or was he still too ninja-y?
It started, yes. It did start to click. Yes.
Well, there's a very fine line there, because as a homeowner, what you want to do is say, like, look, man, you're too old to be out here. You're too old to be dressed up. I know the cutoff on this because I've got a 7-year-old out there right now or an 8-year-old.
What is the cutoff?
I don't know, but here's what I've learned. Don't tell the kids they're too old unless you want something to really fun happen to your property later.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing.
So you can't really put the, you can't say what you want. You just got to be like, all right, man, since this is your last year trick-or-treating, here you go.
To me, it depends.
You try to do, like, subtly.
What is the cutoff?
I don't know.
Or
if
you
can drive, my money says you can't trick-or-treat. How's that? Is that fair?
I thought it was before that. I thought it was 13.
I feel like that's about it. But to me, like, do the kids want to dress up? If you put in the effort, because a lot of things with teenagers, you'll notice, like, they're taking advantage of the fact that it's Halloween. They're just not dressed up. So you open the door, and it's like,
of course they want to dress
up. Unless you're an 8-year-old man dressed as a teenager or a 3-year-old child dressed as a teenager, right now, you're just a teenager. That is not put on any costume.
It's not candy worthy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you're not going to get candy for this, man. I can give you a high five.
Hey, I'd say 50, 60% of the time that I have had trick-or-treaters, the parents are also dressed up. They are wearing something.
Right.
They're not just wearing a jacket and going out with their kids. They are dressed up as somebody.
Well, sometimes it has to do with siblings, too.
Yeah,
I was the youngest,
along.
Right? So there was just a point where it was like, my sister's 2 years older. It's like, you can't go. You're too old.
Well, it depends,
me and my buddies.
Because sometimes the older sibling has to drag their kid around, and you can see the unhappiness they have with this arrangement that clearly their parents explain, I know you're 16, but your brother's 12, you're going with them, or whatever it might be. I will hook them up with candy. Because when they ring the doorbell, you'll notice, they're not even standing on the stair. They're like out in the yard waiting for their younger sibling to get whatever.
I like giving them candy. Them. That's my thing, man. What are you? I'm a such and such. What's that?
Yeah.
I'm so out of touch with, what a 6-year-old is interested in.
I don't know.
Cool character from the show, whatever the deal is. I never know. I'm just like, what are you supposed to be?
Dude, even when my kids were young, they would get dressed up, and I still did not know who or what they were. And they're like, you watched the show with us, and I wanted to explain. Like, no, I'm present with you, but I'm not really paying attention. And then my daughter's all into Comic-Con, right? So every year, I can't even explain what her costumes are, and she will tell me the name of the character, never heard of them. They're from this thing. never heard of. I know nothing about it, but my wife can sew. So the issue is, my daughter, typically about a week before Comic-Con, she will have figured out what she wants to be. It is always super elaborate because she knows her mom can hook her up. But as my wife says, she goes, this would be so much easier if I knew who the F she was talking about. You know, she's like, I have to go online and Google all these people. And then even then I have to make sure it's the right character.
There's seven different versions of it.
Well, that's the thing. And I go to Comic-Con with
her every year. You can look, if you didn't know who Batman was, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be Batman. Well, there's about 10 different Batman that you could be.
Do you want the black-suited Batman? Dark, do you want the blue, TV show
gray,
Batman?
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. You better get it right. And then it's funny to me because then we'll go to Comic-Con.
I feel like Batman nowadays, it's established. It's the Dark Knight Batman.
It is the Dark Knight Batman, period. Unless,
if you dress like the TV version of Batman,
you're an adult.
Yeah.
You're an adult, you're being funny, you have a pot belly, yep. And it's understood. If you're a kid dressed like that, man, that kid's just going to get rolled.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola.
Doing well, David. Thank you, man.
How's everything going?
Doing excellent, man.
New to Washington, and I love the station, man. Love the station.
Oh, awesome. Good, man.
Where'd you move from?
From California.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a little colder.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So the story goes as at a family function. I believe my cousin graduated. Her father brought all our family over, had some of his neighbors come over, and one of them was just being really obnoxious. Had a little too much to drink, all our family's there, and was just blurting out certain things that he shouldn't. Well, he ended up doing something to my cousin, the reason that we're there. I think he made her grabbed her behind or something like that. And then the party kind of went outside a little bit. And then I believe she confronted him. And then my cousin came up and talked to him. Some words got exchanged. And if I could remember right, I was maybe about 11 years old. And one of my family members, he was just getting really mouthy. One of my family members hit him. Boom, he hits the floor. And we just swarmed on him like a bunch of bees, and he didn't know what the heck was going on. It was my mom, it was me, it was my sister, it was some other family members, and he's just trying to get up, and man, he did not expect what was going to happen. And he got up, hey, what the F, hey, man, and my cousin said, you touched my ass, and this and that, and dude, it was... The guy just got swarmed. He went to the wrong house and did the wrong thing and didn't expect the family to react the way they did.
Well, you know what, too? He's a neighbor. So
he
better get his crap together. If you're going to live in proximity of people who beat your ass and don't like you, you probably should act a little differently.
I remember one of the time within the fight, my sister, she's 2 years younger than me. He tries to get up, and she just kicks him right in his face. Boom! And I'm like, Priscilla, stop it! No, he keeps acting stupid. I'm just like, all right, we're all in it, I guess. It was pretty bad.
You know, does your family roll tight like that? Because I'm just envisioning this guy dropping to the floor, and then an entire family descending.
That's
on
what I'm saying. Like, I've been in fights before, but never with my family having my back or me with a family member. I've been with friends. Obviously, I've been solo.
Oh, I fought my brother. I've almost been in fights with my cousins.
You have? Oh yeah. Swiss roll tight. Like, if somebody's in trouble, it's like, all right, let's all get into it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I just haven't been in that situation.
Me and my cousin Tom have the advantage of growing up where we did. So we were at a nightclub once, like in Baltimore. I want to say it was like old Hammer Jacks or something. Once it had become a club.
Yeah.
So his buddy, same thing. These dudes recognize his friend, and it's one of those stupid things you do in your early 20s, right? It's Tom. It's his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend.
Okay.
We have no beef with this guy. We do know who he is.
Sure.
He obviously can't stand that we're in the same club. There's going to be a fight. And I guess he's just growing up in PG County. I mean, I really, like, you figure, this is a wrap. There's like six of them. We're done. The three brothers just came up off the bar and were like, you F with them, you F with us.
Did you know these guys?
No.
Wow.
Like, all right. Yeah.
Like angels.
Right. So, like, me and my cousin Tom have been close a couple times, and something weird like that has happened. I'm like, all right, man. Like, let's just tab out and get out of here. I don't know. Like, thanks, but yeah, we got you guys. Like, cool.
Well, I've got two friends that I know for a fact. We need to get out of that bar earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. He will stay all night.
Sure.
I got one buddy who'll stay all night. One other guy just getting a fight. I don't know what his deal is, but it doesn't take much. You think like he seems okay, but then you realize like he's stewing inside of for so.
Is there any thing that sets him off? There's a mystery anger that he has that comes out of the bar.
He just starts taking shots at people very loudly for no reason. It's not necessary, basically. Whether it's an item of clothing, whether it's
don't.
Like, what are you going to, like, Peyton Manning's barber? You know, like, stuff like that. I mean,
but
you don't even know the guy. You don't even know the guy he's talking to.
Yeah. I would say the other one I've seen is people talking about other girls. Like, I know you're drunk, but, like, calm down. Like, everybody can hear you in this bar, and that woman is there with a boyfriend.
Yeah, just keep it to yourself. And also know if it's, like, a neighborhood bar. Because I've seen some things, maybe twice, in the last couple of years, where there's just some guys that you don't recognize. It doesn't matter. But then they get hammered, and they start flipping the bartender some mess about something. And then they kind of quiet down, and they realize the bar's gotten quiet, and everyone in there is staring at you. And it's like, legitimately, it's you against everyone in the bar. Yeah. And we know you didn't know that, but if you make the right decision and just leave, then there's no problem.
A lot of people don't realize how loud they talk, too, and how well sound travels, even if there's a jukebox on, even if there's a crowd in there. I mean, a bartender hears everything you say. They are judging you.
Everything.
They know your entire conversation. They ignore you. They're not getting involved in it. Maybe they pop in for a second on the conversation. They're listening to the entire thing. Not only that, they're listening to five other conversations simultaneously and taking them all in.
Yeah, they absorb all
of
them.
They know it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be careful, man.
I've seen a guy get cut off. He was sitting. Now, look, I'm sitting closer to the bartender than this guy is because he's sitting, from my perspective, the back of the bar. Maybe because he's in the corner, his voice ricocheted back. But anyway, he went walking up to get another drink, and he didn't seem effed up or anything. And Andrew's like, no, you're cut off. He's like, what? And I just heard the bartender say, I have heard your entire conversation. They never said what it was about, and I don't know what he said, because like I said, he didn't seem drunk. But yeah, she was like, nope.
Damn.
It's like, damn, bro.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
And you know the bartender I'm talking about, Ted.
I mean, when I was bartending, I cut a guy off once just as I recognized him from outside of work. He was an idiot.
Oh, really?
He was one of those, like, guys around the neighborhood that never finished jobs or anything.
Yeah.
So he had beef with my dad once, but I don't think he recognized me as being that same person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the guy was an idiot.
Sure.
And he was bitching about the size of a black Russian compared to a white Russian.
Okay.
So you know me. By the second time I leaned across this bar and said, you understand one has cream and one doesn't. Thus, the volume is different.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking again. I said, no problem. You better pay me back. You know me. $5 bill right in your chest.
There you go.
Good day, sir. Have a good one.
Good day.
Right.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I have two things about Friday. Because that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching you guys do your thing. It was really cool.
Yeah, man, it was a great time. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Ted, did you share all the treats?
Prank caller.
I can answer no. Well, now, are you the dude that rolled up to me and told me this?
No, I gave it to Ted, yes. And Ted, I gave Ted a bunch of joints that he was supposed to share with you guys.
Well, last year somebody gave me the joints to share and I didn't. And so that guy said, hey, that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Okay, because he told me, he said, I did not give them to you because you did not share. I gave them to Ted, and then I forgot until his phone call.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I didn't even think about it Friday or Saturday, and then Sunday we were sitting there, and I was like, dude, I got a whole pack of joints. Let's smoke one after every quarter.
Brock, this is what you need to understand. If you give one of us joints, that person's going to smoke them all.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in years, Brock.
It's tough on Friday. If they're like individual tubes, that was like a five pack. So
yeah.
I wasn't going to break it open on stage.
Of course.
And then like Miles left before I even saw him, so I was just like, all right,
Brother,
got him.
I get it, because you know me.
Yep.
Okay, the other thing was, though, so I'm not a lager drinker because I love your guys' IPA. I'm always drinking those. So I had a cup of those lagers with my girl and stuff, and we both had the worst gas that night. It was just terrible.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad we could supply that for you.
Glad to help.
Yeah, no, it was like the next morning, and it was not fun.
Okay.
All right, so this is back when I was a kid. I'm 12, leaving junior high school. Me and a buddy, we play sports and stuff, so we're not like fighters or anything, but, you know, we're known throughout the school and whatnot. And one day we're leaving school and we run into this kid that's, he's kind of a nerdy kid on his paper route. And he has his papers with him and everything. And my buddy Brad jokingly goes, "Oh, you got money on you? We want your money." And he was just joking. And all of a sudden, this kid wails off and knocks us both down to the ground and then just takes off. We had no idea what's coming. And it was just boom, boom. It was like, oh, my God.
That's funny, man.
A rolled up newspaper to the head. That would hurt.
Man, I'm telling you, a rolled up newspaper is a weapon.
You don't even realize how much that can hurt until you get hit with one.
It was strange, though, because, like, the next day we get called into the school and stuff, and because he went to the school and brought it up, and then we never saw him again after that. He ended up, like, leaving school and whatnot. We felt really bad about the situation, so, yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're just joking. Wow, man.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Don't mess with that kid's money. That is what everyone learned that day.
Yeah, right. It's understood at that point. Like, don't even joke about his money.
Wait, you might think he's
the
nerdy,
kid is dead serious.
He's got a job. You don't.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, man. I don't know. But yeah, newspaper. God damn. It's my dad who always said that. Like, if you got a newspaper, you can blah, 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 blah. And I never saw him fight with the newspaper. But the one time my brother was cornered by a dog, big ass dog. We're going to go through the whole story. But I'm in the house with my father. He just looks at me, shakes his head. But he rolled up the newspaper. I see him disappear down the driveway. And you just hear, whoosh, boom. Dog stopped barking, whatever. My brother's walking back to the house, and my dad is all sniffly. And I'm like, what happened? And my brother's like, Dad walked out with the newspaper, did not say anything. Just raised his hand up over his head, brought the newspaper down on this dog's head. Done. That dog dropped to the ground, unconscious, right? It's like, for real? He's like, yeah. The dog survived.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother's like...
And there's certain times not to joke about robbing people.
Well, yeah.
I've been a part of that joke once where my friend was buying weed. This was back in D.C.
Oh,
the
no.
dude's sitting there, and one of them goes, we could just rob him. And I was like, I mean, it got so serious so quick. And I remember, like, the dude was scared. I was scared. I was like, tell me we're not going to rob this guy.
Jesus.
Like, I want to get out of here. And he's like, no, I'm just playing. I was like, not funny.
That, no, man,
we're
not
already
during
buying
a drug
weed
transaction.
That's illegal. Like, we're 19.
Yeah, don't.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up until 4:30, we're going to sit and spin. We've got 10 songs that people want played at their funeral.
Okay.
It's the end of your life. You're not even there. You can't even hear. But you want to put these people. Maybe that's the idea.
Pick a song that you hate, that everyone else hates. Like, was it Friday from Rebecca Black or something? Like, I'm dead. I don't have to hear it.
What was the Barbie Girl, maybe? Aqua.
I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pick the ones.
That's a bad song.
Just put people through living hell. I mean, you're already dead. They're probably happy you're dead, though, you know?
If you're going to play that song, they'll be a little happier that
you're
dead.
Thank God he's not around anymore. I can't put it. Anything in the jukebox. So, 10 songs people want played at their funeral coming up at 4:30. In the meantime, our question, stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Didn't you almost get in a fight over a jukebox?
We just moved to Seattle. Not really a fight. I just...
Didn't you almost get into a fight?
Not really. I mean, Ted was there. I just kind of...
Didn't you almost get into a fight, Ted?
No, but the other person just kind of backed down right away.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even play the song. It wasn't even my
song. What happened? What was the argument about the jukebox?
I think a Bob Marley song came on or something, and the guy said something. And I basically just like, don't you talk ass on Bob Marley. Whatever it was.
I can't remember it was something. It was just something silly.
Yeah.
But you attacked him with such aggressiveness that I don't know if the guy knew how to react.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't say anything.
So it wasn't almost a fight. What Miles said, should there have been a fight? Yes.
Right?
Because it wasn't, you didn't leave it at, like, don't attack Bob Marley. And you effing bought all that. I mean, it all came out. But the guy was just like, okay.
Okay, by the way, that is, and because of that incident, I have not done mixed drinks I will do a shot.
Hang on.
Did 12 whiskey and Cokes that day, right?
Right, because you were like, let's just chug them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were also drinking beers. I think it's hard to place that blame on the mixed cocktail.
And you had 12 of them.
12 of them. I remember it was 12. And I was, that's probably why I was saying.
So it's mixed drinks.
Oh, my God.
It's not how many you drink.
It wasn't the beer doing that to me. It was the amount of alcohol that I drank in a short amount of time, the volume.
Well, yeah, I'll agree. But I don't think you could be like, that's why I don't drink Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
Because when I drink 12 of them, I get ornery.
Right. And you were like, no, man, like mind erasers. Let's just keep chucking. Because they were two or three.
No. They're having a sale.
Yeah, I won't do a mind eraser again. And that's just for how I felt.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Like, literally, nothing happened. I've never felt that bad from drinking alcohol. I think I had two mind erasers. I'd heard of them. I had never had one. The bartender's like, dude, just try it. It's this. And I'm like, well, it's the worst thing that could happen. Well, a lot of bad things happen.
You know what scares me the most?
There used to be a bar by my mom's old house. So, like, that was their thing.
Oh,
they had flavored mind erasers. There was grape ones, watermelon ones. And that was just their shtick.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm always afraid, to be honest with you, here, as far as just the way I drive, is people who are mad about if they're road raging or whatever. Seems like every time you read the news, somebody's been shot on the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
It's either a random shooting. It's like some guys were tagging the other night over the weekend, like shot at this car. I don't know if that guy stopped and said something. Who knows what the scenario was. But either way, not worth being shot at.
I feel like reading the news today, you don't want to go to family functions. You go to a family function, you're going to get stabbed. At least that is the news today. There's a dude who got stabbed to death at a gender reveal party in the basement of like the steakhouse that he
owned. He owned it.
Yeah,
he owned the steakhouse.
Like, please, your party.
Yes, it was like his girlfriend. And he and the girlfriend were just getting into an argument about something. It wasn't really real. But it was, I don't know if it was her gender reveal. Either way, she had two teenage
adult sons. Early 21 and 18 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Well, they just jumped him and stabbed his ass and killed him.
Do you see the picture of the one son? That's going to jump up. But I just think to myself, all right, there are scenarios where I do not think something bad's going to happen, right? Like a wedding, it might happen. Funerals, you know how people get. It might happen. Even an amusement park, there's enough people and something, you know, line cutting. A gender reveal party, like to me, this is... It's something I don't want to go to in the first place, but also I would think this is the safest possible environment until you get stabbed to death in a steakhouse basement.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, Rockin' Ronnie here. I just want to start by saying I was a wrestler in high school. I was in the Marines, got out, took martial arts for a little while, and I usually came out on top whenever I got into a scrap, but not this particular day. I was coming home from work, stopped at the local car wash to use the payphone. This is 96, and all the phones were being used, and there's a couple people in line to use the phone. I'm patiently waiting, flipping through my phone book, and some guy takes cuts, and this girl goes, "Hey, jerk, don't take cuts." And I think he thought I was with this chick because he shoved me and I went flying. My phone books and organizer all go flying on the ground and I land on my butt. And I was like, what the heck just happened? You know, and I'm mad, right? So I stand up and this guy's on the phone and I said, "Hey, you so-and-so, I was a Marine. Nobody does that to me." And he's got this look on his face like all of a sudden, oh, he's scared. And I'm thinking, yeah. He's scared of me, right? So he drops the phone and comes rushing at me, and I think, okay, it's on. So I cough back, he coughs back, and we swing at each other at the same time. Next thing I know, I'm in the air. He's got me with one hand up in the air. My feet aren't touching the ground, and he kicks me between the legs really hard.
I guess that was the end of the fight.
No, he misses the boys. But he spins me around. My feet don't touch the ground, gentlemen. He spins me around, and he hits me in the back with an elbow or a fist. I don't know that to this day, but I still can't sleep on my left shoulder to this day. And then I'm still not touching the ground, gentlemen. He spins me around again and punched me in the face. And then he starts spinning me around again. I'm going backwards again. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. So I, like, squirm. I do some kind of weird squirmy thing for my life, and I get out of his grasp and fall on the ground. And then he looks around, and he goes, okay, it's over, it's over. And he puts his hand, like, he says, all right, man, let's just shake on him. And I said, dude, I'm not touching your hand. And then, you know, and then he just leans into me and says, next time I'll just effing shoot your ass. And I was like, whoa. And he gets in his car and just drives away.
Did you ever get to use the phone?
I just gathered my stuff up. I didn't mention that I hadn't slept in 8 days that particular moment. Only 2 days, 2 times in my life I stayed up that long. But even if I was at the peak of my whatever, this dude knew how to fight. And he just totally dominated me like... I thought I was going to die. And
are
I
you? Why were you up for? Are you calling a meth handicap here? What happened?
Yeah.
Am I what?
Were you on meth for 8 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're up for eight days, man, you're not going to be on
your game. Methamphetamine.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no other reason you were up for 8 days.
It's just like, you know, one of those days where I was up for 8 days. Like I'd be delirious.
Yes.
What, stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
If I knew somebody was a really good fighter, they were like, they've been strung out for 8 days. I might be like, all right, this might be my chance.
Might be my one chance. Yes. 8 days of sleep deprivation. Yeah, I'm a little more confident. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it been, fellas?
Hola.
Can you, on the radio, can you say the key word for boobies?
No.
That's not one that's not
just say boobies.
Well, happy that Tuesday.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. All right. So back in the day, my college days over in Pullman, go Cougs. A lot younger, a lot dumber. You guys know the fifth pocket in your jeans?
Yeah.
Okay, you put a rubber in there, whatever. That'll come in later. So back in the day, used to like to fight a lot, and a buddy of mine and I, Levi, would just walk around Pullman and look for fights. It was stupid, but that's what we did. So we walk around, after the bars close, we see guys across the street. We look at them. We say, hey, F you. They look at us. They say, hey, F you. We meet in the middle of the street. We start throwing blows. Two of them go down. It's just me and one more guy. I'm not one to, you know, fight unfair. So I take the seat just to watch. Levi throws the haymaker of all haymakers and just lays this guy out right as the cops round the corner. So they set us all down. Of the five of us, none of us has a story that matches. So they say, hey, we saw you guys throw the last punch. You guys are going to go spend that in jail. Those three, they're going to get in the meat wagon and go get checked out at Penn Regional. Game over. Cool. We spend the night in jail, get up the next day. We get released because, you know, nobody had a story that actually, so, you know, it would bleed. We get out. We're taking a walk of shame home. Levi turns to me and he goes, dude, it wasn't all bad. He reaches in that little fifth pocket and pulls out this big bag of weed and goes, I still got a weed.
All right. There you go, man. Right.
What is that thing actually for? There's a real reason for
that. Wasn't it like for pocket watches back in the day?
I can't remember.
Like, I think it was pocket watches back in the day when they first introduced jeans, because that's how you told time. And it's just they didn't want it in their pockets proper, so they intentionally stitched that thing in there.
Okay.
And now it's morphed into, yeah, your drug pocket. I don't know that I put anything other than drugs.
Lighter?
Sometimes it ends up popping in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
It could have been for tools. You don't remember jeans.
Yeah.
Were like what the working class wore.
Right.
So like
blue collar.
Right. When you get to San Francisco and Levi Strauss and company are making jeans, like that's who they're selling them to, is people working on the railroads.
Yeah, it was not
later
cool
on
or trendy.
Right. It became okay for everybody to wear them. But it used to be like, ugh, you're wearing jeans.
You know, the one thing I asked my brother, as far as fights go, you know, you're rough in the NFL, and when these guys brawl, all of them can beat your ass, right? There's no question about this. And you got, I don't know, two linemen going at it or whatever. You know, how do you approach it? And he said, honestly, he goes, because look, a lot of times, if it's like five guys kind of getting into it, you know, usually two guys are bumping chest, two guys are swinging, and one guy's trying to break it up. But when it's more than just two guys, if they feel someone at their back, they're going to turn around swinging because they think it's another player, you know, trying to come in to do something stupid. So he goes, you don't hear this, but as the officials descend on these piles of just meat and fist and anger, we're saying, ref. So that way when they feel our hand
yes,
on their back.
Yes.
Because
I see, yeah.
One thing in the NFL, it's like they don't really mess with the refs much. They, you know, you can't even really argue.
They're head and shoulders the best league about it.
You can state your case, but you still have to do it with respect and that kind of thing. So he goes, but we understand. It's like, look, we can throw a flag if they end up punching us, but that's not their goal. But also, we're old men and don't want to be punched by a 300-pound, 24-year-old man. So like, as we're getting closer, we're like, ref. Then when we get to the pile, because they said, if you notice on TV, we can start grabbing them by the horse collar, so to speak, and pull them back, and you'll see they don't put up much resistance. It's like, because we keep repeating, ref.
I'd almost rather get punched in the face in the field than hear half the stuff that they say, like, you know, don't go to Vegas. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they're chirping. Like, do not go to Vegas.
What do you mean?
Just, if you want this to go down, do not go
to Vegas. Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff. Where, like, they know, half those guys know each other from college anyway.
Of course.
They have
or played on the same team.
Yeah. They got buddies. They all know something about the other person.
Maybe I'll do it on happy hour, but my mother asked my brother once, like, you know, just between plays, what are these guys saying? And to him, it's a nothing burger. He just hears it all the time. And he was just giving quotes and just running through, you know, 800 different things he's heard. And I'm like, oh, my God, man. He's like, yeah, man, it's every play. It's not, they're not going to do anything. He's like, but they got to at least say their piece. And he's like, they say their piece. And it's bad stuff.
Stupid or not, why did you end up almost throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, William. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. So back in 2009, you guys did a rock girl gala. I think it was like a Showbox Soto.
That sounds about right.
Theory of a Dead Man was the headliner. Anyway, it was my buddy's birthday, and like eight of us went over there in a limo, and we did a little bit of pre-funking before we got in there, and apparently my buddy, and before Theory of a Dead Man ever hit the stage, decided to get in a fight with a guy. And I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to how it was all going down. I just saw the two basically holding each other's shirts, throwing punches at each other, and I ended up taking the one guy down into like a rear naked choke, not like choking him out, but just telling him, hey, you don't want to fight, man. And by that time, I'm getting hauled up by a bouncer. Everybody's getting hauled out. And that was the end of our night. But then one of our buddies who stayed behind with the limo, when we all got in and told him the story, he's like, well, good news. I got Krispy Kreme donuts for everybody.
All right.
I mean, yeah, there's a happy ending to that somewhat.
Not a long walk.
Yeah, I remember that show, Theory of a Dead Man.
Yeah.
That was a very good time.
Stupid or not, why did you end up throwing hands? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Toby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, so this is about a few years ago now. I got in a little scuffle, and we had a friend in town from, like, Alabama, a girl, and she was visiting, but her husband didn't travel with her. It was just her. And basically what had happened, there was a guy that was kind of getting handsy with her. And she was like, hey, like came over to us while I was at the bar or whatever. And was like, that guy's kind of making me feel uncomfortable, like whatever. And he was in the bathroom. So she was actually saying this to my wife. I overhear it. And I was like, okay, see him come out of the bar or bathroom. And I like stopped him in his tracks. I was like, hey, dude. Just so you know, she's not interested. He's like, well, what's a big deal? Like, I'm married or whatever. And I was like, I don't care, whatever. fast forward. So he, like, things kind of escalated, right? And, like, he was playing darts. And he, at, like, one point, he was flipping me off. And I was just, like, waving at him, being a little smart-A, you know?
Of course.
And then they, he basically gets cut off, right? Because he keeps coming over to our table. And then at one point, I was like, he's like, what are you going to do about it? And I had one hand clenched up, ready to go. I was like, dude, I'm about to knock you out. He's like, whatever, whatever. They cut him off. On his way out, he walks behind me, like says in my ear, and basically gives me like a sucker punch to the back of the head.
All right.
And I feel it and I just get whacked and like I'm red at this point. And then I look, he's not there. So I look the other way, he's turning and walking away. So I just grab him by the back of his like vest that he's wearing and I pull back and miss the first shot, but the second one just connects right to his nose. And right then, like everything's broken up. We all just get separated and like the bouncer's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. You know, I didn't mean for this to happen. And he's like, it's cool. I saw everything, but you can't stay here, you know?
Yep.
Like, I get it. So, yeah. And then that guy got kicked out and his nose is all bloody. Yeah.
So she had a wonderful visit then, and she likes Seattle.
Yeah.
She can't wait to come back.
Yeah. I've never seen someone get cut off just leave the bar peacefully. Right? Even if they weren't being a jerk and it's just like, clearly they've just been overserved. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, I can't give you any more booze. Like, it just escalates instantly.
Yeah. Right?
Just like, geez, dude, here we go.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
And I have a story in Vegas. We were so hammered, we got cut off at like noon at a bar, and we were
damn.
Like, thanks, man.
We needed that.
Yeah, and we went home and fell asleep. Maybe it wasn't noon. It was early in the day. But same thing. We were like, yeah, man, you're exactly right. We shouldn't be in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the bar, too. Usually if it's like a classier joint, I feel like people kind of go,
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Right? And usually it's quieter, but you're right. If it's like a bar, like a sports bar, and people are rowdy,
right.
You don't want to get cut off there.
I've seen Batman pass out at a bar in an upscale steakhouse, almost fall asleep, almost fall into the street.
They woke him up to see if he wanted another drink.
I was like, damn.
We
man.
Looked at the bartender, we're like, dude.
Jesus,
stop. We got to deal with this.
Yeah, we gotta pick him up, man.
Yeah, they literally woke him up. Would you like another Jameson?
I was like,
he's like, yeah.
And he'd been drinking doubles since like 8 o'clock in the morning.
It was something.
But all of a sudden, man, it was just like everything was normal. And it was like you shut down a machine. It was just like the lights started flickering, man, and he was just gone.
That's a hell of a night.
Like, I think it depends too, like how drunk you are. Like I've been with friends where we went to like an upscale place And basically, as soon as we walked in, they were going to cut us off just because we were too loud.
Yeah.
But it was Friday night. Like, we had been out for a drink or two. And same thing. We're just like, oh, okay. And the guy's like, no, seriously. And I was like, oh, S. Okay. We'll leave.
Yeah.
Like, our bad. But it helps that we weren't actually drunk. Like, I think if we had been drunk, we might have been a little more combative. But we were just like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah, man. 10 songs people want to play at their funeral coming up as we'll sit and spin until 4:30. And we have your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.